Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we're kicking off a brand new sermon series on one of my most favorite books in all the Bible, the book of James, called The Little Things Are the Big Things. Because here's the truth. Sometimes it's not the big flashy things in our lives that define our faith. It's actually the little choices, the daily habits, or the small things that we oftentimes overlook that make the biggest difference in who we're becoming in Christ. And so what I love about the book of James is, for the most part, this book doesn't get caught up in all the theological fluff, but it gets right into the practical everyday stuff of how we talk, how we treat people, how we respond to trials, and so much more, which in turn gives us a very clear and detailed picture of what it looks like to live Christian in the little things that really matter. And then for those of you who would like to go deeper as we make our way through this series, what I would like to do is invite all of you for the next 5 weeks to actually take some time and read through the book of James. It's only 5 chapters long, so that means that you could read 1 chapter a week to kind of follow along. It might take you 5 minutes to get through working through a chapter or whatever. But the truth is, the more you put in, the more you're going to get out. I mean, that's just the truth in life. So I would encourage all of you to take some time and read through and wrestle with the book of James as we do this as a congregation. So, let us begin. The book of James begins in this way. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greeting. Now, the two important things that I think you need to get regarding the book of James before we get into the details of what it has to teach us is, first of all, as this opening alludes, James is writing this letter to churches scattered all throughout the Roman Empire. And why that matters is because being Christian at that time was not easy. Or given they were a minority religion, they experienced all sorts of issues, from just not fitting in a whole lot of ways, not being able to participate in civic life, to actually being persecuted for their faith, which means the words of this book are, in a sense, written to a people who are struggling to figure out what it means to live Christian in a hostile environment. So when you read this book, that's something you got to keep in mind, because that's what they're dealing with. That's what James is writing to. And then secondly, and I think most importantly, according to church tradition and quite a bit of scholarship, this letter is actually said to be written by Jesus' brother, known as James the Just, who not only became a follower of Jesus, but actually went on to be one of the major leaders in the early church movement. We hear about him in the book of Acts. And why I think that matters is because the wisdom of this book doesn't just come from some detached follower of Jesus who did a whole lot of research and wrote things down. And there's nothing wrong with that. No, this book was possibly written by someone who knew and understood Jesus in the kind of way that only brothers can know. So we might just want to pay attention to what he has to say. He might have some things that speak into our lives pretty well. So, right after James gives us that opening, the first thing he does to set the tone for the entire letter is he says this craziness. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Yes, this is James' opening line to the letter. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Which is a statement that at first seems absolutely bananas, because who do you know in their right mind that when they face some kind of trial, their first reaction is joy? No, the way it usually works is when something bad happens or we run up against one of those difficult seasons in life, our first response is never joy, but emotions like fear and anger and sadness and grief. Or for some perspective on this, do you really think that when Clayton Offsinger and his family learned about his cancer diagnosis that their first response was joy? Or what about Larry Arnold when his family learned that he had a brain tumor that they could do nothing about? Did they consider that to be a joyous thing? No. When life punches you in the face like that, the right response is not to experience joy, but to allow fear and anger and sadness and grief to come in and take over, because that's what happens in those places. That's how you're supposed to respond. And yet, when you get into what James is actually saying, and you got to get into the Greek grammar and all that stuff, and I won't bore you with that, you'll discover that what James is actually doing here is not telling us to feel joyful about our suffering in itself, but instead is telling us that when trials do happen, that our response should not be to remain in that place, letting all of those trials take control of our lives, but instead is after the initial shock, we need to take a step back and begin to look at our trials differently. Or we got to do some reframing of the situation where instead of just focusing in on the negatives, because that's what we normally do, let's be honest, as Christians, we have to begin to focus on the positives that can come from this. Or more importantly, how it is that our God can take something bad that has happened to us and use that to actually make our lives better. Or as one author explains, as Christians, we have to choose to see trials not as obstacles to our faith, but as opportunities for us to grow in our faith. Because as James goes on to explain, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. And yet, testing here isn't about passing or failing some kind of trial that God has put in front of us. No, testing here is more about refining. Or similar to the way that blacksmiths have to heat certain kinds of metals to get the impurities out to make that metal stronger, the trials we face in life act as the heat that we need to help us become stronger. Or maybe to see this logic spelled out in a deeper, kind of more expanded way, the Apostle Paul explains the same idea like this. He says in Romans 5, 3 through 5, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame. And what Paul is getting at here is, again, not that we should enjoy our suffering, but that as believers, we can see the value in suffering because what God can do in and through this. Or to see this, just think about someone going through physical therapy after surgery. And I know that many of you have done this before, so this is really going to resonate. Sure, the process is painful, not something that anyone likes to do, but nonetheless, they do it because they know it's a part of the healing and strength building process. And of course, they're not grateful for the pain itself, but they're grateful for what the pain is producing in them, which ultimately is perseverance. And perseverance here is the ability to keep going even when things get hard, because doing hard things or embracing the difficulty of life instead of running makes things easier over time, and it makes us stronger. Or going to rehab gets a bit easier week by week because it helps us develop a kind of tolerance and strength that allows us to keep pushing beyond the pain so that we can get to what's next. And what's next is character. And character is who we are at the deepest parts of our being. And that what trials ultimately do to us is they shape us in the deepest parts of who we are, making us better and stronger in almost every single way. Or my experience has been that when I meet people who have great character, you know, those people who are set apart, those people who are different, what I find is those aren't the people who had the easy life sitting on the beach drinking margaritas every day. No, those are the people who have faced all sorts of trials and even suffering. And from those trials have been shaped and formed into the kind of people who can handle just about anything that this life has to throw at them, with some hope and even some faith in the mix of that. And yet, before you guys go off the deep end thinking that every trial that you face in life is something that God has done to us because he's just trying to make us stronger, he's trying to test us. The truth is, at least the way I see it, is that most of the trials we face in this life are not things that God has done to us. No, the way it usually works is either we bring those trials upon ourselves through bad decision making, or the other part of that is something can happen to us because of a decision of someone else. That can happen as well. Or trials happen because we live in a fallen and broken world where things just aren't fair some of the time. For example, God didn't cause you to get fired from your job to help make you stronger. No, you got fired from your job because you were being lazy and not doing what you're supposed to do. And where God shows up in this trial, because it is a trial, is he can take even that, those things that we have brought upon ourselves, and in turn use that to help us learn what we need to learn to get better. I mean, good Lord. So my father got fired when he was younger. It was the best thing that ever happened to him. It was the thing that he needed to be transformed in that time and place. And it changed him. He is a much better man because of that situation. And then when it comes to things like accidents and maybe even a diagnosis, God did not cause those things to happen to us so we can test our faith. That's just cruel. No, those hard things happen because we live in a fallen and broken world where bad things happen to good people all of the time. And where God shows up is he can even take the worst things that happen to us in this life and can use those to make us stronger, wiser, and better. Or in other words, for God, trials in and of themselves aren't good, not something that God wants or has even done, but are things that when they do happen that God can use to transform us into the people he created us to be. Or the truth is, you guys already know this. This is a truth that you have lived over and over and over and over and over again, and that who you are today is not something that is based for the most part on times in life when things are easy. No, who you are today was forged in the fires of life when things got hard. Or it happened that one time when life kicked you in the teeth and you had to decide to get back up and fight or just lay down and quit. It happened that one time when you thought you had nothing left to give and yet you just kept scratching and clawing with everything that you had left to find that with God's help, you're way stronger than you thought you were. Or for some of you, if you get honest, when you force yourself, this is something that happens to us every single morning, is when you force yourself to get out of bed and face the day, to grind, to stack days, even when all you want to do is quit. Or it's because of those real life experiences that as Christians, we really can consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds, because we know that the testing of our faith produces perseverance. And that perseverance is what we need to become mature and complete, not lacking anything as followers of Jesus. Or to really help you not only understand this teaching, but hopefully to live it out, to close today, I want to offer you a quote and an image that I hope not only sticks in your brains, but something that you will come back to over and over again as you face the trials of your life. So the quote I share with you is a quote that I've shared with you guys many times before, because it's a quote that I try to live by, and I think it's so powerful. It comes from Nelson Mandela, a man whose life to a certain extent was one trial after another. And what you got to think about when you're thinking about Nelson Mandela, his trials came upon him is because he was doing what's right. Sometimes when you do what's right, that's where the trials are going to show up. And this is the quote that he kind of lived by. He says this: I don't ever lose, I either win or learn. I don't ever lose, I either win or learn, which for me is a motto or a way of choosing to live, because let's be honest, this is a choice that in one sense sums up what both Paul and James have to teach us about facing anything that this life has to throw at us. In that if we choose to see our failures and trials as opportunities to learn and to get better instead of letting them take over our lives, then guess what? There's absolutely nothing in this life that can stop us. Because if we think in this way, or if this is the way we choose to live our lives, no matter what happens to us, no matter what comes up against us, we will always get back up and try again. And then for the image, I want to show you a quick video that highlights a practice within Japanese culture, and I think it's thousands of years old, called kintsugi, where they take pottery that has been broken, and instead of throwing it away or trying to hide the cracks like we do today, they fill those cracks with golden lacquer. And so what we're going to see today is just a kit so you can kind of see how it works, but they actually, when they're doing this with pottery, use real gold flakes, and the reason they do that is because it makes it even more valuable and even more beautiful. Check this out. Thank you. what I want you to notice is before this plate was broken, it was just a plate, right? It's functional. It's not going to be something that you talk about. It's really not that interesting. And yet, afterwards, when you do it this way, it becomes kind of a centerpiece. It's something that people might even ask about. What happened here? So do you guys see the beauty in that? So for me, why I love this image so much is it gives us a kind of visual of what happens to us as we face trials and difficulties in this life. And that there is no doubt that trials can break us in all kinds of ways. But here's the thing, when we face them, what God does is he doesn't take those cracks away, but instead uses them as places in our lives where his grace and his strength and his life shines through, making us even more beautiful, making us even more useful. And so with all of that, what I hope you're starting to see is that one of the little things in life that is actually a big thing is that when we face trials and difficulty in this life, that the best way to face them is not to sit around feeling sorry for ourselves, but instead is to see those trials as something that God can use to mold and shape us into the people he created us to be, or as moments and seasons that are never fun. And this is the thing that you guys need to get. Some people, when they read this verse, they think when anything bad happens to them, they just need to be joyful all the time. It just doesn't work that way. Right, but there's still some joy to be found in the fact that we serve a God who can take the worst parts of our lives, our worst mistakes, our worst failures, and can use that to make us better. And not only use that to make us better, but when we get better, we're able to use those broken parts of our lives to help others. And so, may you be the kind of people that when trials do happen in this life, that you face them head on with a bit of joy, knowing that our God can take even that and use it and transform us into amazing, amazing people. People who are better than we were before. Let us pray. Father, again, we come before you this morning so grateful for this sermon series as we walk through the book of James, learning about those little things in life that really are the big things. And so it is my hope today, O Lord, as we begin this book, that you will not only teach us where we know it mentally, but this will be the way we choose to live every single day. That every time a trial comes up, Lord, even though it hurts and even though it causes us to suffer, that we find joy in the fact that you can take even that and make us better. You can make us more beautiful. And then even more than that, Lord, you can use those cracks that we have to help others who are dealing with the same thing. So Lord, help us to be the kind of people who choose to live a life where we never lose. We either win or learn. It's in your name and for our sake that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.